raise more homes and continue to execute, detain, and incarcerate Palestinians, fracturing intimate timelines of kith and kin. It also means to have colonial history weaponized against you as procedures and conventions set into place by a violent settler regime become their own repetitive reference points, justifying Palestinian dehumanization and dispossession. The ongoing struggle to save Masafer Yatta encompasses all of this, but the story of Masafer Yatta is not just the greater story of Palestinian dispossession. It is also the greater narrative of Palestinian resistance. The entire regime of Israel can't remove me. We will not leave. We will not get out of here because we are the inhabitants of the land, Palestinian farmer Khaled al-Jabarin has declared. The phrase Nakba after Nakba reminds us the Nakba was not a moment in time. It is an ongoing process, a process against which Palestinians continue to rise up. This is a phenomena as the ongoing repression and resistance in Al-Quds Sheikh Jarrah, in Gaza and beyond. The Unity Intifada of 2021 showed the world that Palestinians are rising up together regardless of location. This is why we must not only support the call to save Masafer Yatta in as many ways as possible, we must also see the fight to save Masafer Yatta as connected to the larger battle for defeating the Zionist settler colonialism and to free Palestine from the river to the sea.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
The presence of different scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. You are listening to the program Viewpoints. Please accept our condolences on the arrival of the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and his faithful companions. With me in the studio are two guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Sheikh Rouhani and Brother Habib. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Habib.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about the lessons that the non-Muslims can take from the personality of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And we know that in the Islamic history, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam as a special character has influenced the non-Muslims too. The processions, the we can say the mourning processions and the gathering that are done all across the world has attracted so many people. So the first question that comes to their mind is, who is Hussein and what was his message? Brother Habib, bless us all with you.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. There's two important things that I want to state before going into it. The first thing is that we have to understand the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There are two, you know, main theories about the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. How did Imam Hussein alayhi salam end up in Karbala? Was his movement for political cases to do a revolt or revolution, like how some believe? Or was it because of the zalima, the oppression of Bani Umayyah on Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam that made him flee Medina out of fear of being killed and his family being killed, made him flee Mecca because he knew he was going to be killed, and then tried to go to Kufa for a safe place and was taken to Karbala as a prisoner, you could call it, by the army of Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. And of course, there's always the ghaybi part, where Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he had knowledge about his death. Inna Allah sha'a an yarani qatila, wa sha'a an yarani sa'i sabaya. That's something that he knew. He had it in his knowledge.
He knew it in advance.
It was written in the books. Fi alam al-dhar. It was written. It was known. It was known that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was going to be killed on the 10th of Muharram.
Okay.
So that's one thing. To understand the way you read the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam affects how the lessons you take. The second thing is that, to know that the fact that the Shias, the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam, they have this strong connection with Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Yes.
That's something that Imam Hussein alayhi salam brings. It's because of his oppression, the way that he was killed, and what he stood for, really just, you know, brings and drags the Shias, the followers of Ahlul Bayt, to have this, you know, connection with him. Whenever they want to cry, they feel sad, they cry and feel sad for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Even to this, whenever they're in their most happiest parts of their life, I don't care if their child is being brought, they have bought their dream house, they're in their marriage. If you bring up the story and memory of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, their tears were shed, and they will feel like life is tasteless. Even in the best moment in their lives.
Yes.
It brings them and crushes them down to that point. We have this with also Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. In Baghdad, the Shia used to move to Baghdad so they could be neighbors with Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. And still this day, people in Kadhimiyya tell them, leave Kadhimiyya, and why don't you leave Kadhimiyya? I'm neighbors with Imam Kadhim alayhi salam. I feel this, you know, this harmony, this peace, Imam Kadhim alayhi salam, this specific thing. So these are two important points that we have to keep in mind when we talk about what to take lessons from Imam Hussein. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is the successor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. وَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ. We had a role model in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. In what virtues? Any virtues in your life you could take from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. So that's just a general answer.
Yes, that's all right. Thank you very much, Brother Habib Sheikh Rouhani. The question is that the lessons that the non-Muslims especially can take from the personality of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, although we know that there are still so many Muslims in the Muslim Ummah that do not have any information about the true message of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And sometimes the strangers, I mean the non-Muslims, overtake the Muslims in this field. Why? What is the reason?
It's Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think one of the very great lessons that nowadays Muslims and non-Muslims can take from Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam in this modern time by the help of technology is this, that Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wassalam nowadays attract the attentions of millions of people towards himself. And this is a very serious question, that why do million and numberless people gather on the day of Arba'een, before the day of Arba'een, in that small city of Karbala, millions of people?
Yes.
I think by the help of nowadays technology and media, mass media, the people can see it is visible for all Muslims and non-Muslims. Non-Muslims at least should ask themselves that why do these people are going to this place, commemorating an event that took place more than 1,000 years back.
Yes.
So there must be something behind this, let's say, gathering of the people.
Yes.
This is one of the great lessons that Imam Hussein alayhi salam nowadays teaching us. That, in different times, in different eras, and historical periods, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala light a light in the world, in the universe.
Yes.
For example, Prophet Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam was a light at that time.
Yes.
Prophet Ibrahim, Prophet Musa, Prophet Isa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at his time. But Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam was again a light.
Yes.
After the demise of the Holy Prophet. Because what happened in Ashura and in the battlefield of Karbala, it was categorically and completely opposed to the teachings of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
There was a deviation in the Islamic teachings and doctrines.
Yes.
When Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam was martyred, his martyrdom was a light.
Yes.
It's like a sun that is shining in the history of the world.
Especially of the mankind. The light in the history of humanity.
Of course, yeah. Okay. That's what I mean. Okay. So that's why when non-Muslims refer to Islam by the teachings and readings of Amawids and Abbasids, they mm-hmm. see something really strange.
Yes.
That was these things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was preaching.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the Ahlul Bayt, we see that love and hope is there.
Yes.
The only thing that Ahlul Bayt have had in the history, that is hope of Ummah to them.
Mm-hmm.
This is what they had.
Okay.
You know, the A'imah alayhi salatu wasalam, all of them were oppressed, were under the pressures, were under the control.
Yes.
And they did not have any chance to spread their teachings. Even Imam Muhammad al-Baqir, Imam Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam, even at that time, they had lots of problems.
Yes.
Lots of challenges.
Yes.
But what remained in the history of Islam, what we have nowadays is the true teachings of Islam is by the hub of Ummah to these people.
Yes.
And this Arba'in is the manifestation of the real hub of mankind to these people.
That's right.
That is the lesson. That is at least one of the big questions, the biggest question should come to our mind. Makes no difference whether you are Muslims or non-Muslims.
Yes.
But what's going on there?
That's right.
What's happening?
That's why, for example, every year during the Arba'in procession, even on the day of Taswa and Ashura, we could see so many Christians are attending the procession and the walking.
Yeah.
Once one of these Christians, I mean the priests and the fathers who came to the Arba'in procession, was asked by a Muslim reporter that, "Are you a Muslim?" He said, "No, I'm a Christian." He said, "Is your prophet Prophet Muhammad?" He said, "No, my prophet is not Muhammad. Jesus Christ is my prophet. Prophet Muhammad is your prophet. So why do you walk on Arba'in?" He said, "Muhammad is for you, but Imam Hussein is for all." This was the answer by a Christian. He even specified Prophet Muhammad to a minority, but Imam Hussein to all the humanity, okay? These human aspects of the tragedy of Karbala really attracted so many people. And the message, the pure message that Imam Hussein alayhi salam had on that day, Brother Habib.
One of the factors that really, you know, drives human beings to get attached with the Imam Hussein alayhi salam story,
yes,
is the fact that every human being, whether they like it or not, love justice in society.
Very
if
good.
You leave out your desires, leave out your personal gains, you as a human being, you and your intellect, you and your mind, you will reach to the state, al-adlu hasn, wal-dhulmu qabih. Justice is good, and trying to oppression is bad.
Yes.
When you look at what happened to Imam Hussein alayhi salam, the first question that pops up to your mind when you hear about at-tifl al-radi'a,
yes,
a thirsty baby, was answered by an arrow. Not any arrow, a three-headed arrow.
Yes.
The first question that will come up to your mind is, why? Why? Why such an action? When you hear that he was beheaded and finished, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam was finished, why continue to stomp on the horses? Because there are two narrations that he was stomped before his death.
Yes.
As in Ziyar al-Nahya.
Yes.
And he was also stomped before his death.
Yes.
Why? You killed him. You finished. All right. Why? This why opens up doors.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he go to Karbala in the first place? How did he end up there? How did he end up thirsty? How did he treat the thirsty people himself? How did he give water in the Khashab or the Jashab?
Yes, yes, yes. Just one station before reaching Karbala.
Yes, yes. He gave water to the army of Jaysh al-Hur.
Yes.
And the adab, the ethics of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. When al-Hur was drinking water, the water was falling down because it was the bottle he
there
was drinking
a leak.
From.
Yes.
There was a leak. Imam Hussein told him to fix the leak. Put your hand on the leak. So he was so thirsty, he wasn't paying attention. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam himself came and put his hand.
Oh.
So he could help him drink water. And how did he return the favor? This opens again why. Why did he leave Mecca? Why did he enter Mecca? Why didn't he leave Medina? Why didn't he do bay'ah to Yazid? Why didn't he do bay'ah to Muawiyah? Why did Muawiyah fight Amir al-Mu'mineen? Why did Amir al-Mu'mineen get in a fight with Muawiyah? How did Muawiyah get into the rule? Why did Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam stay away from the throne? How? And then you reach to this point.
Yes.
Oppression. There is no justice. Oppression, the oppression that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to be emulated or defeated and demolished and everything, still rose, was able to rise. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was a victim of that oppression. So that really just brings in people. That really just drags in people. It's a humanity case. You know, when you see someone oppressed, you want to defend them.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because like how we stated, justice is good.
Yes.
It's in our innate. It's in our minds. It's in our intellect.
Okay.
And that's just like a philosophical way of, you know, dragging things together.
Yes. And in today's world, you still think it would be helpful
to bring up such cases,
yes,
the virtues of oppression and whatnot. In zaman al-ghaybah to al-imam al-mahdi, I think that it's a very detailed topic.
Yes.
And we could see that al-da'im alayhum as-salam did not state what happened to Sayyidah Zahra alayhi as-salam in details as they did with Imam Hussein. As well, they did not go into details about what happened to their women.
Yes.
This is because of the ghira, the jealousy that they have about their women. And that's just a different topic by itself.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, there must be details of what we bring up about Madrasat Karbala, the school of Karbala, how the companions stuck with Imam Hussein.
Uh-huh.
That's another way to look at
the story of Karbala. That's right.
Exactly. Okay. The faithfulness of the companions, the Christians who turned into Muslims because of the story of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And altogether, just the bravery, you know, the characteristics, these attributes that Imam Hussein alayhi salam had when he was fighting for what he saw was right,
mm-hmm,
when he was defending himself. Yes. How did he defend himself?
Mm-hmm.
Even, you know, like how we talked about the first and second theory, it doesn't matter. Imam Hussein alayhi salam was defending himself. How did he defend himself?
Yes.
How did he talk? Why did he talk? What was he defending? Why were they attacking him? These are, you know, lights.
Yes.
Lights and that lead you to doors. And these doors are like cities filled with knowledge.
That's all right. Thank you very much. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, your final remarks.
Yes, one of the other lessons that we can take nowadays from Imam Hussein alayhi wasalam was that Imam Hussein revived the moral and ethical teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a way that he treated even his enemies on the day of Ashura. Once he called upon their enemies, his enemies, that, O people of Kufa, if you are not Muslims, at least you are free people. You are
be
human.
Free people.
Be free people. Mm-hmm. Be human. You know, when he refers to these universal values, because morality or ethical values are kind of universal values, that's why he refers to this, that, okay, even if you are not Muslim, you have to be free people. You have to be free human.
Mm-hmm.
That is why it seems that at the time of Imam Hussein, wasalam, you see, these moral and ethical teachings and doctrines of Islam was forgotten.
That's right.
By the majority of Muslim people.
Okay.
And that's why Imam Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, and then Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam, in all his life, he tried his best to revive these moral and ethical teachings of Islam.
But this time, the method of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam was very much different, through sacrificing everything. Because we have not such a case at all during the history of the world that a person sacrifices everything. I mean, his Facebook companions, his babies on the way, his brother,
his son. You're calling it sacrificing. I might disagree with you with the word sacrifice. I would say that he lost everything. Everything was taken away from him.
Okay.
Why? Simply because he was the son of Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam. That's my understanding of it.
No,
like I said, it goes back to that, you know, understanding the theory and the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And really, that's really important. That's why I said it's very important to understand what's the movement of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and how we could learn from it.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Brother Habib and Sheikh Rouhani, for your presence in the program Viewpoints, talking about the lessons that the non-Muslims can take from the personality of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. And thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also, our YouTube channel, Instagram page, Call of Islam Radio. To another episode. God bless you all. Fi aman Allah. Assalamu alaikum, ya Abu Abdullah al-Hussein.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Kullu man kana muhibban lahum.
food for thought.
Hello everyone, and condolences to you all on the 8th of Muharram, when the Holy Prophet's household was deprived of water from the river Euphrates by the enemies of humanity in a vain effort to force Imam Hussein, peace be upon him, to endorse the illegitimate rule of the godless Yazid bin Muawiyah. The martyr of Karbala's answer is indeed food for thought. By Allah, I will never give you my hand in allegiance like a man who has been humiliated, nor will I flee like a slave.
Mournful is the earth as heaven starts to cry. Water doubts its worth as lips begin to dry. Listen to the silence. It breaks with a sad goodbye. Amid the drums of war is a mother's lullaby. Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. I cry for you in pain. I cry for you. I cry for you in
pain. Visitors and staff at a French zoo have celebrated the first birthday of twin pandas. The young bears were given a tasty treat of frozen cakes and other treats. As part of the event, five lucky visitors were also given the chance to participate in the celebrations behind the scenes with golden tickets. Other festivities included face painting and panda-themed activities. The baby pandas were born last August and now weigh 23 and 28 kilograms. They live with their mother at Zoo Parc de Bouval, where they have been on display since their arrival in 2021.
Many people develop deeper relationship with four-legged animals, treating them like their own kids. A Kenyan conservationist is one of them. 33-year-old Salome Lemazia has been a community ranger in Sierra Conservancy, northern Kenya, since 2015. The mother of four is stationed at a rhino sanctuary and is in charge of protecting a male rhino named Loijipo. At just a few days old, Loijipo was abandoned by his mother, possibly due to her being spooked by something. After being cared for, he was returned to the sanctuary under surveillance in an attempt to rewild him. 3 years on, from his release into Sierra Wilderness, he is taking his time to carve out his territory, of course, with the help of Salome. The chest fever in the southern Indian city of Chennai is on a peak as the 44th International Chess Olympiad kicks off there. Students created a mammoth chessboard on the playground and dressed up as 32 chess pieces to promote the game. For 2 weeks, Chennai is hosting nearly 2,000 players from 188 countries. For the first time in nearly 100 years of history of the Chess Olympiad, India is playing host. The event will run until August the 10th. Ahead of the game, 150 underprivileged children from various government schools were given the opportunity to fly. These were the students who won in a district-level chess tournament. Excited spectators gather at the Solberg Airport in the U.S. for the 39th New Jersey Lottery Festival of Ballooning.
We have about 45 balloons here today, including these spectacular special shapes. Our signature New Jersey Lottery Sunny Days balloon. You can see the tiger. Unicorn is hiding behind there. Tasmanian Devil, unique photo panda. We are having a spaceship. There's Billy the Kid. Spectacular presentation. You won't believe your skies this weekend.
Dozens of hot air balloons were test inflated in preparation for the real deal. The festival is considered the largest summertime event in New Jersey. Reddington city officials have predicted about 170,000 people will join the festival over the weekend. Weather forecasts say the sky are gentle enough for over 100 balloons to take flight in the morning and evening in mass ascents. And no one is more excited than the festival producer, who has been planning the event for months.
Including these spectacular special shapes, the balloons bring out the kid in everyone. You know, I've done this for a long time. This is the 39th annual one. But still, when I hear that propane whirring and these balloons going up, it makes the hair on my arm stand up.
The producer says these balloons will be handled by professional pilots and other balloons will be available for rides. The festival will last for 3 days, ending with food vendors, games, amusement rides, and other entertainment. There will also be a massive fireworks display as well as a nighttime feature of glowing balloons. The annual festival is the largest seasonal hot air balloon festival in North America. It draws in thousands of visitors every year.
You might think twice about throwing out your old trainers after this story. A startup in Tunisia breathes new life into old shoes as artists restore and even customize the footwear. The new business is called Kenenti and is located in the capital, Tunis. Here, the team uses fabrics, laces, and leather recovered from various factories for the repair work. The creative artists work on every detail during each project, even the soles of the shoes. The work aims to find solutions to shoe waste and reuse items instead of adding them to the world's landfills. Cherif Zeroui is the co-founder of Kenenti. He says the idea came to him 2 years ago when he discovered the number of shoes thrown away each year in Tunisia.
In France, there were 100 million pairs of shoes thrown away every year. This is a huge figure for us, and for the ecosystem and for the earth. In Tunisia, it's almost the same given the population. There were 3 or 4 million shoes thrown away every year. So we thought of giving added value to these shoes, so we restored them.
Zerbouy also says he is happy to create jobs for those willing to participate regardless of the educational degree. Besides shoes, these artists dabble in restoring worn-out handbags, giving them a brand new look. Many of the artists and interns say they are proud to be part of this unique project. They say they feel like a family there. The startup is the first trainer restoration business to be launched in North America.
Would you buy a pair of scrap tire sandals? Well, in the Vietnamese capital, Hanoi, you will find all kinds of handmade sandals from recycled tires. The famously rugged footwear of the Viet Cong have traveled vast distances over the decades. Shoemakers use sharp knives and chisels to craft a sandal from huge tires. For those seeking a nod to yesteryear, the hard-sole sandals are available at markets and small stores alike, with prices ranging from $2,000 to $1,000. The Vietnamese first began making rubber sandals in the late 1940s during the first Indochina War against the French, using tires from ambushed army trucks. They found the sandals were cheap to make and survive well in wet, muddy and hilly conditions. Even in peacetime, the design remains popular for sustainability reasons. Living through a pandemic is strange as we are often locked indoors, but a UK-based Indian mechanical engineer made the best use of his time during the coronavirus lockdown and built an airplane. 38-year-old Ashok Ali Serial, who is also a private pilot, had long dreamt of a personal aircraft. He initially planned to order an aircraft kit and built it with his colleagues, but he says the 2020 lockdown left him with no choice but to complete it on his own. Now he has an aircraft which he has named after his youngest daughter, Dia. The plane can carry up to 4 people, including the pilot, and fly about 250 kilometers an hour. After getting clearance to fly, he flew across 4 European countries with his friends. He has also gone on a trip with his family of 4. Some gardens are decorated with genomes and other cute ornaments, but this garden uses tank debris to stand out amongst others. The intention of the gardener isn't to have the most army-themed patch. Valeria tried to remove the tank, but ultimately, because of its size and weight, it was impossible. So he just let it stay. The owner says he is used to having the tank there, even though it reminds him of hard times. Next to the wreckage, this family has planted cabbage and potatoes, which they harvest and use each year. The tank was left over from the war between Russia and Ukraine that began earlier this year. British paleontologists have made an exciting fossil discovery which has been identified as the earliest known animal predator.
It's quite a large fossil. It's the preserved part is at least 20 centimetres tall, and it would have lived attached to the sea floor bottom. but it's a broken specimen, so we actually don't know how large the entire colony is. This is only a fragment of it.
Wilby says the animal had a stalk and a cup on top with little tentacles, which most likely used to catch food out of the water. The ancient animal is related to sea anemones, jellyfish and corals, and pushes the known existence of these species back to 20 million years. Wilby explains the fossil displays a key point in the evolution of animal. The fossil is said to be around 560 million years old and was discovered in Charnwood Forest, northern England, amongst over 1,000 other fossils.
Iran's city of Rafsanjan has hosted an international talent contest dubbed Stage Stars. The event is aimed at providing a chance for stage talents from across the world to come in the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali reports from Rafsanjan.
This is a global stage for talents. The fifth International Stage Stars Festival wrapped up with the announcement of winners, who have been competing in four categories of singing, voice acting, show hosting, and sound impression. The top performances from each category won the golden mic and a cash prize.
The festival was a place for more serious competition between those who have a say in a stage performance. I'm so happy to be chosen by the jury as the best show host of the contest.
It was an amazing event for talents. I'm so glad to be part of this. Talents from all across Iran and many parts of the world competed in the festival, so winners should be proud of themselves.
Held in Iran's city of Rafsanjan, the two-day event brought together participants from 14 countries, including Iran, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Nigeria, and Turkey, to flaunt their neck for stage performance. The jury is comprised of top Iranian actors, TV presenters, and voice artists. They say the competition has been tough, and those who stood out are real stage stars.
We tried our best to pick talents who really acted like professionals on stage. Not only should they care about the standards and principles of a stage performance, but they must innovate, improvise, and stand out.
This festival acted like a university for stage talents. It taught a lot of lessons about the stage to participants, especially for those who failed to win the contest.
Organizers say this contest is not just about scouting for stage talents. They say the event helps shine a spotlight on talents and lead them to their community. All of the contestants, even those who come from foreign countries, must perform in Persian. However, organizers plan to include other languages in the upcoming editions of the festival.
To those who won the golden mic here, this is a dream come true. But they say, aside from the prize, Stage Stars has marked a milestone in their pursuit of success, since they have now come under the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali from the city of Rafsanjan.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Salamun Alaikum. This is today's special. We're going to speak about the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to listen to this episode of today's special. Accept our condolences on martyrdom anniversary of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him.
As-salamu alayka ya Sayyida shuhada. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله.
Today, Saturday, is the 8th of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar. Also is the 15th of Mordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 6th of August, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. At first, we listen to verses 37 to 38 of chapter Al-Baqarah.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Fatalaqqa Adamu min rabbihi kalimatin fataba alayhi. Innahu huwat tawwabur rahim.
Then Adam received from his Lord some words, and he accepted his repentance. Indeed, it is he who is the accepting of repentance, the merciful.
قُلْنَا اهْبِطُوا مِنْهَا جَمِيعًا فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ.
We said, go down from it, all of you. And when guidance comes to you from me, whoever follows my guidance, there will be no fear concerning them, nor will they grieve.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Many Islamic traditions narrated from Ahlul Bayt denote that the objective meaning of the words taught to Adam by Allah was the holy names of the Holy Five, with the Holy Prophet Muhammad, his cousin and son-in-law, Hazrat Ali, peace be upon him, his daughter Fatima, and his sons, grandsons, Hassan and Hussein, peace be upon them. Adam relied on these words and asked him to forgive him. Then Allah accepted it and forgave him.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio.
People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah.
On the month of Muharram, we speak about the movement of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. The day of Ashura for millions of Muslims around the globe is a day of mourning, the calamity that befell Imam al-Hussein, the grandson of Muhammad, the Prophet of Allah, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny, and, of course, Imam Hussein's family and companions in a land called Karbala. The ultimate tragedy here is that Imam al-Hussein was the grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, who died only decades earlier. Of his grandson, he says the famous words, "Hussein is from me and I am from Hussein. Allah loves whoever loves Hussein." Of his refusal to pay allegiance to Yazid, Imam Hussein said, "I am ready to fight for the sole goal of seeking reform of the Ummah of my grandfather, the Prophet of Allah. I want to enjoin good and forbid evil and guide the efforts of the people as my grandfather and my father Ali ibn Abi Talib were doing." Sayyid Abbas Razavian.
Brothers and sisters, the reality of Ashura can only be witnessed by the prophets and their successors. They truly know what happened to Imam Hussein. They can truly understand the batin and the essence of Karbala. So what did Prophet Zakaria do dua for? He wanted reward. We say, give us some of the reward of the musab, of those that have been afflicted. Give us some of this reward. He wanted the reward of calamity, of huzn, of patience. So he did a very special dua. He says in this narration, Elahi urzuqni walada. God, grant me a son that I love, a son that I like, and then take away that son for me, so that I can in the same way have the affliction of the noble messenger of Allah, that he knows that his son, because in the traditions the Prophet talks about Imam Hussein as his son, even though it is his grandson, that when Allah took away and put bala in Imam Hussein and martyred Imam Hussein, that is the bala of the Holy Prophet. So in the same way, give me a son so I can share that bala of the Holy Prophet, knowing that his grandson, knowing that his son will be martyred. And Allah gave him Yahya, and Yahya was martyred and is very similar in story and very similar to Imam Hussein alayhi salam.
Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein.
Lessons of Muharram.
Ya Hussein, Hussein, Hussein. Ya Hussein.
This is today's special from IRIB English Radio on the month of Muharram. The title of this part is Others Come First. Few achieved a status of glory from the day of Ashura like the brother of Imam al-Hussein, Abbas ibn Ali, and for good reason. His nickname is Abu al-Fadl, the father of virtues, because he displayed every virtue known to man on the day of Ashura, the flag bearer of Imam al-Hussein's army, and feared by the opposing side to the extent that they granted him free pass to leave. He remained loyal to Imam and only met his martyrdom when he attempted to reach the river to fetch water for the daughters of Imam al-Hussein who were dying of thirst. Upon reaching the river, he attempted to drink the water himself before remembering the thirst of Imam al-Hussein and his children. He threw the water back into the river, refusing to drink. In a moment that was the epitome of selflessness. Among the many lessons that he gave us on that day, perhaps the peak of it is selflessness, reminding us that others will always come first. Dear brothers and sisters, on the continuation of today's special, let's listen to the golden words of Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. In the book Tuhaful Ughul, we read that Imam al-Hussein states, living a life of lowliness is nothing more than a death without life. Are you trying to frighten me by death? Never. You are off the mark. You are deluded by useless ideas. I'm not one to be afraid of death. My spirit and soul is greater than that, and my sense of purpose and fortitude is loftier than to allow me to tolerate tyranny and oppression out of a fear of death. The most you can do is killing me. Imam al-Hussein also states, death with honor is better than life with lowliness. And in fact, this couplet was one of his battle cries when attacking the enemy. Death is better than being afflicted with shame and dishonor is better than entering hellfire.
We were talking about huzn, we're talking about grief. And we shared the story of Prophet Zakaria and the book of Al-Ihtijaj. And we said that Prophet Zakaria, knowing what befell Imam, what would befall Imam Hussein, that he began to cry for 3 days. And he did a very special dua that he could share in some of the huzn of Karbala. Having grief itself is not something good. In the traditions we have, it's something discouraged. It's not good to be sad. But when you have grief for Imam Hussein, that is not grief. It is actually connection to God. It is actually spiritual enjoyment. That is the difference between having grief for Imam Hussein, having sorrow for Imam Hussein, and having sorrow for your own worldly affairs. Look at some of the traditions we have. From Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, we have the tradition in Al-Kafi that نَفَسُ الْمَحْمُومُ لَنَا الْمُقْتَمُ لِذُلْمِنَا تَسْبِيهِ. The breath of one who is saddened in our account is grieved for the oppression done to us is tasbih, is glorification. Just as you say, subhanallah, you are this breath that you're taking because you understand how sad the event of Ashura is, it is tasbih for you. It is glorification of Allah. وَحَمُّهُ لِأَمْرِنَا عِبَادَةً. The grief for our cause is worship. So the sad breath is tasbih, is glorification of God. And the grief that happens, the ham that happens, is actually in the tradition worship of God. Therefore, this grief is much different than other types of grief. This is worship. This is connection to God. This is something that's very worthy, very precious. Look at it, all the traditions we have about the tears that somebody sheds for Imam Hussein, what reward they'll get. Look at the traditions that we have, those that recite poetry for Imam Hussein, what reward they'll get. Those that have majlis for Imam Hussein, look at the reward they'll get. So having grief is the second part of our spiritual journey for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And of course, Imam Hussein does not need our tears. Imam Hussein, the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, as you read in Ziyad Jami Kabira, ذَلَّ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ لَكُمْ. Everything is humble for the Ahlul Bayt. They do not need our tears. We need to cry for Imam Hussein. We need to cry so that we can link our hearts closer to Imam Hussein. When a person's heart gets attached to another person, they spontaneously become good. They spontaneously become like that person. That is one of the best ways for us to change ourselves and benefit from Ashura, to become more like Imam Hussein, is to link our hearts with Imam Hussein, to grieve like Imam Hussein, to have sorrow like Imam Hussein alayhi salam had sorrow. As we read in Ziyarat Ashura, we read, Alhamdulillahi ala azim raziyati at the end. All praise be to Allah for my great misfortune. May Allah, I thank God, alhamdulillah, I say, for this great raziyya, this great misfortune. So in this Ashura, in this Muharram, if you feel grief for Imam Hussein, if you feel saddened by the event of Karbala, know that this is a blessing for you. Know that this is worship. Know that this is tasbih. Know that this is the second step in the spiritual journey of reaching Maqam al-Mahmud, reaching the praiseworthy station. And we thank Allah for these tears. We thank Allah that He given us the ability to mourn for Imam Hussein. Wa sallallahu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ahla bayti tayyibin tahirin.
Condolences to all Muslims all around the world. On the month of Muharram, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred in the land of Karbala. Dear friend, inshallah, we continue our discussion on the next episode of today's special. Until then, wassalamu alaikum. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati.
ومماتي ممات محمد وآل محمد.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.